rarity happened to a Filipino family in Tarlac a few days ago, and you may have encountered it in the news. A quadruplet was born. So can you imagine, from being childless, suddenly it qualifies as a big family of four children, two boys and two girls. As is the nature of such births, those children will certainly exhibit many similarities, especially in physical features. But at the same time, each child will also exhibit individuality in personality and in character. In other words, though born on the same day, but they are not the same. And when they grow up, the more the individuality will stand out and the maturity of character. Some perhaps will mature, others may not. Well, much the same can be said of spiritual rebirth. Magkasabay-sabay man yung kanilang karanasan ng kaligtasan at sabihin natin pare-pareho silang ipinanganak na muli sa ganun ding magkapare-parehong mga pagkakataon at kalagayan, ngunit makikita ang pagkakaiba-iba kapag nagsimula na ang paglago. What distinguishes one Christian from another is whether one matures or whether one does not mature. And we are happy therefore to have such a section in the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians 10:13, where Apostle Paul models Christian maturity, and it is modeled under the most difficult of circumstances, for precisely in difficult circumstances, Christian maturity is tested. Sa mga mahirap na pagkakataon, diyan nasusubok ang maturidad ng isang mananampalataya. At dito sa pangalawang bahagi ng ikalawang Korinto, hinaharap ni Pablo yung mga taong tumutuligsa sa kanya, yung mga taong kaaway niya, yung mga taong tinawag niya na mga super apostol. They are the super apostles, and Apostle Paul contrasts himself with these super apostles by calling his ministry as that of a true apostle. This is authenticated by the signs of the true apostle which are present in him and his ministry. And this contest between the true apostle and the super apostles will be definitive of one's maturity. And I have said again and again, the mature stands on genuine apostolic authority as against super claims, authoritative personality, super emotions, super circumstances. The truly mature Christian will judge things on the basis of true apostolic authority. In other words, by the written word of God. That is how we test maturity, and many issues that will challenge our maturity are clashes between the true versus the super, and the immature will tend to choose the super, whereas the mature, whatever the super claims may be, he has his eyes on the true authority of apostolic scripture. And so let us count our church as being blessed in terms of the ministry of apostolic word, not in terms of what other churches count as blessings. A mature church will count its first blessing in the apostolic word. Now, applying that apostolic word, we find the Apostle Paul applying this, as I have said, to the most challenging of circumstances. After proving that he is the true apostle, and the contenders in Corinth are not true apostles, though they may have super claims, Apostle Paul is now preparing for a third visit, and this third visit may prove to be very confrontational. And Apostle Paul makes it abundantly clear that he will face these super apostles and apply his apostolic authority in a way, to use his language, "I will not spare." After proving his apostolic authority, the third visit will now prove to be quite confrontational. Now, under these challenging, very difficult circumstances, we may ask the question, where did Paul draw this maturity to deal with people that it would be easy to just dismiss than confront or serve? Saan kinuha ni Apostol Pablo itong maturidad niya na sa harap ng ganitong kahirap na mga hamon ay hinarap niya at alam niya ang kanyang dapat na gawin? Isang hamon ito sa atin, napakaganda ng sasabihin dito ni Apostol Pablo, at sa aking palagay, susi sa maraming mga usapin ng buhay Kristiyano. Kung matutunan natin ito, isa itong napakagandang pundasyon sa maturidad ng Kristiyano. I would invite you to turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 13. Our text is verses 3 and 4, but let's begin reading from verse 1. 2 Corinthians 13, 1 to 4. This is the third time I am coming to you. Every charge must be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. I warned those who sinned before and all the others, and I warn them now while absent, as I did when present on my second visit, that if I come again, I will not spare them. Since you seek proof that Christ is speaking in me, he is not weak in dealing with you, but is powerful among you. For he was crucified in weakness, but lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but in dealing with you, we will live with him by the power of God. So Paul now is saying, since you seek proof that Christ is speaking in me, that is another way of saying, since you are seeking proof that I am an apostle is one who speaks in whom Christ speaks. We cannot claim that today. Christ speaks today in Scripture. But in the days of the apostles, Christ spoke in the apostles and through the apostles. And so when Apostle Paul says, since you are seeking proof that Christ is speaking in me, that is just saying you are seeking proof that I am an apostle. Now Apostle Paul explains where he is drawing all this maturity to address all these difficult challenges that the Corinthian church and the enemies in Corinth pose on him. If and when Paul has to apply his apostolic authority by way of discipline, he is saying it will be by the way of Christ. At dito nagbigay siya ng talagang kanyang pananaw, hindi lamang sa usaping ito ng pakikipagkonfronta sa mga kalaban sa iglesia, sa mga nagkakasala sa iglesia, ito ay pananaw para sa kabuuan ng buhay Kristiyano, of which the confrontation in Corinth is only one application. So really, verses 3 and 4 are giving us a perspective for the whole of the Christian life. This is how we are to address any issue of the Christian life. Paul sees everything in the light of his being in Christ, both in his death and in his resurrection. Let me summarize that by this message. The mature roots his life in his union with Christ's death and resurrection. Ang may maturidad ay iniuugat ang kanyang buhay sa kanyang kaisahan kay Kristo sa kanyang kamatayan at pagkabuhay. The mature roots his life in his union with Christ's death and resurrection. This is a tremendous statement that in fact only a Christian can make. Isipin niyo ang mga taong masasabi nating disente, maganda ang kanilang pag-uugali, at maaring ipaliwanag nila na sila'y nabubuhay sa ayon sa kanilang prinsipyo at sila'y consistent sa kanilang prinsipyo. Ang iba maaring sabihin nila na sila'y naturuan ng kanilang mga magulang at ito ang isang dahilan kung bakit sila namumuhay ng may katinuan, dahilan sa turo ng magulang. Ang iba naman ay maaring ipaliwanag sa paraan ng edukasyon. Edukado silang tao at dahil sila'y edukadong tao, matino ang kanilang pamumuhay, maprinsipyo. At yun ay mga magagandang paliwanag. But they can never, unless they are Christians, they can never explain life in terms of union with Christ in His death and resurrection. Only the Christian, ang Kristiyano lamang, ang makapagsasabi na ang pananaw niya sa kanyang buong buhay at anumang mga hamon ang dumating sa kanyang buhay ay dahil sa kanyang kaisahan kay Kristo sa kanyang kamatayan at sa kanyang pagkabuhay. Only the Christian can see the whole of life in terms of his being joined to Christ in death and resurrection. So this is a challenge for us to do if we are Christians. Just as Paul at the most challenging problems of his life and ministry draws from this, so must we. And in order to explain this, two things I want to point out. First, the truth of our union with Christ. I want to explain the truth of our union with Christ and then the fruit of our union with Christ. Ang katotohanan ng kaisahan natin kay Kristo at ang bunga ng kaisahan natin kay Kristo, the truth and the fruit of our union with Christ. First of all then, we need to understand And I'll try to simplify what Paul is teaching here, but this is a tremendous theology. Paul is distinct among New Testament writers in pervasively describing the Christian by a preposition. He is in Christ. Just about anything about the Christian life, Paul sees as being in Christ, or sometimes interchangeably with Christ. Si Pablo, ang tinitingnan niya ang kabuuan ng buhay na gamit itong pagkakadugtong natin kay Kristo. Kay Kristo, na kay Kristo, kasama ni Kristo. Now, this is not Paul's way of saying that we are surrounded by Christ. That is not the point of being in Christ. Some teachers have understood it that way and have taught it that way, and many generations have understood in Christ to mean something like we are in this room, and so we are in Christ. Napapalibutan tayo ni Kristo. That's the mystical understanding of that language, and that is not what Paul means. Paul is using this in terms of a movement that happened in history. That because of what Christ has done, something new has been put in place. And you and I are in that new thing that Christ has put in place. Ang sinasabi rito ay nagkaroon ng pagkilos sa kasaysayan. Yung dating wala, nandito na. Nang dahil kay Kristo at ang lahat ng mga mananampalataya, inilagay doon sa bagong kalagayan na yon na dinala ng ating Panginoong Hesukristo. So to put in summary, the believer belongs to the new age ushered by Christ's death and resurrection. So rather than personal, emotional, or even mystical, being in Christ is understood in Paul's teaching to mean historical. May nangyari. May nagbago na sa kasaysayan. Nang dahil sa pagdating at sa ginanap ni Hesukristo, may nagbago sa kasaysayan at kabilang na tayo sa pagbabagong yun. Hindi ba may mga pangyayari sa kasaysayan na nagiging tinatawag nating turning points? They become significant turning points for a nation or even the world. There are events that we can describe history in terms of pre and post. An example is 9/11, soon to be observed again as an anniversary. It is a pre-9/11 world and then a post-9/11 world. Because of what happened, something new is in place. In our country, in our lifetime, we probably can say EDSA 1986 was such an event. We could speak of a pre-EDSA 86 and a post-EDSA 86. Although sometimes you may wonder what really changed, but nonetheless, in terms of history, we can say that that was a turning point. Now, there are significant turning points in history. And as a student of history, I study those turning points and really I am amazed by the providence of God. But let me tell you, brethren, as far as turning points are concerned, there is nothing in the events of history that approach in significance that which happened on Christ. When Christ came, He lived a perfect life. He died a substitute's death, and He rose from the dead, risen from the dead. That event has ushered in history something that wasn't there before. And you and I belong to that as believers. And that is what Paul means by being in Christ. Apostle Paul calls it many names. He calls it new creation in 2 Corinthians 5:17. In other passages, kingdom of God or kingdom of Christ or being in the Spirit. Or in Ephesians 1:10, he speaks of the dispensation or administration of Christ. I use the word new age to emphasize that there is something new since Christ has completed what he has done. So when we are said to be in Christ, we belong to that which was brought about by His death and resurrection. Unto the Apostle Paul, this is so tremendously world-changing as far as his perspective is concerned. the change of time, the change of history. And this is indicated by many statements of the Apostle Paul where we often miss when he uses the word now. Tayo, pag gumamit tayo ng now sa ating speech, eh, pag wala pa tayo masabi, now, let me see. But when Apostle Paul uses his now, this is very significant now. For example, Romans 3:21, when he says, no one can be justified by the works of the law, but then he says, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. He's talking here of a change in history now. Or listen to 2 Corinthians 6:2, familiar to many of us. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I challenge you to check your concordance for the nows of the Apostle Paul, and these are many. He has such a tremendous perspective of what Christ has done that in what he has done, he changed history. And so we can talk of before Christ and then since Christ, we are in that significant now. And when Apostle Paul speaks of being in Christ, he is speaking of belonging to that which Christ has put in place. Pag si Pablo ginamit niya yung salitang ang Kristiyano ay na kay Hesukristo, tinutukoy niya yung pagbabago ng panahon. Tayo nandun na sa bagong panahon, bagamat narito pa ang lumang panahon, hindi pa natatapos, ngunit nagsimula na ang bagong panahon na doon tayo kabilang at ito'y nagpapabago ng pananaw ng buhay ng pananampalataya. We live in 2012 in our country here in the Philippines. That is true. But we also live in that new age with Christ here and now. And in one sense, you look at the world, everything is the same. There is sin, suffering, injustice. But in another sense, in Christ, everything is not the same. In the language of Paul, everything is new. The old has passed. At itong dalawang pananaw na ito ang magpapaunawa sa atin sa pagtuturo ni Apostol Pablo na mayroon ng nandito ngayong dinala ni Kristo. Nag-umpisa na. This is the truth of our union with Christ, and only true believers are in Christ. And I hope you weigh that statement, our dear visitors and friends. You may belong to a prestigious organization. You may enjoy a post in an institution. You may have things that are honorable in this world, but you are not in Christ. And as long as you are not in Christ, no amount of institution, tradition, or whatever it is that you may boast of your present position will spare you from the judgment of God. At itong pakatimbangin natin sa ating buhay, ikaw ba'y na kay Kristo na? Lumapit ka na ba sa Kanya? At kung tayo mananampalataya, mamangha tayo sa kamatayan at pagkabuhay ni Hesukristo na siyang nagpabago ng kasaysayan. Hindi ang revolusyon, hindi ang pagkakatatag sa Amerika, gaano man sila kahalaga sa kasaysayan, ang nagpabago sa kasaysayan para sa mananampalataya ay ang Diyos na nagkatawang tao, na buhay ng walang kasalanan, namatay bilang kahalili, na buhay mula sa mga patay, at ang pangyayaring yun ang siyang naglagay sa ating panahon ng bagong panahon. This August, the world remembered the dropping of the atomic bomb, August 6 in Hiroshima, August 9, 1945 in Nagasaki, and that made a transition to the nuclear age. That was a turning point. A turning point of fear, of potential destruction. Well, we can say that when Christ came down and did his mission, there was an explosion, but not of destruction. An explosion of blessings. An explosion of salvation favors. An explosion of grace. And that is true since the death and resurrection of Christ. And explaining this truth, I challenge you, train your mind to think in the light of belonging to Christ in His death and resurrection. Sanayin natin yung isip natin na mag-isip bilang kalakip, kaisa ni Kristo sa kanyang kamatayan at pagkabuhay na muli. You will be surprised to see in what variety of ways Paul could introduce his being in Christ. He could talk of salvation blessings as being in Christ. Ephesians 1:7, in Him we have redemption through His blood. Ephesians 1:11, in Him we have obtained an inheritance. Ephesians 4:32, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. And when we at last shall die, what sets apart the believer is that he and he alone dies in Christ. And even in our present suffering, this way of thinking can make a difference. Remember the captivity letters of the Apostle Paul. How was it possible that in his captivity letters, Philippians for example, he spoke so much or he wrote so much of joy? Well, here is one thing that explains it. Philippians 1:13, he said, "My chains are in Christ." Can you imagine, pati yung tingin niya sa kanyang pagkakakulong ay bilang kaisa ni Kristo. So to the Apostle Paul, the view of life as being in Christ is so pervasive that he could look at sufferings even as being in Christ. And would to God that we would learn to train our minds so to do. What is it now in your Christian life that you should learn to root in your union with Christ? Apostle Paul here is dealing with a confrontational issue, and he is explaining why he is able to address this because of his being joined to Christ in his death and resurrection. What about you? What is it in your life now that is proving to be a difficult challenge that perhaps you may put in perspective if you only look at it as being in Christ? Anong problema, kabigatan sa iyong buhay na mas mapapagaang, mas mailalagay sa tamang pananaw kung tingnan mo bilang kaisa ka ni Kristo sa kanyang kamatayan at pagkabuhay na muli? Kung ikaw ay nilagyan ng pananampalataya, magagawa natin ito sa anumang mahirap ng mga hamon. C.S. Lewis testified to seeing the logic of Christianity during a trip. He began thinking of it at the beginning of the trip, and by the end of the trip, he was a Christian. And the point was that he was able to see life as in Christ. And that means you too, by the grace of God, can do that. That even before you reach home tonight, you can have that radically transforming view of life as being in Christ. Now let us see the fruit of that, the fruit of our union with Christ. Paul, preparing himself for the confrontation with his opponents in Corinth. And he sees the application of his union with Christ. In what way? And this is something that applies to us as well. That truth tells Paul that there is a place for weakness in union with Christ's death and a place for power in union with Christ's resurrection. He sees life and its challenges to draw a response of willing weakness or firm power. Both he draws from his union with Christ in his death and in his resurrection. Christ was willing to be in the state of weakness when he died on the cross. So Paul here says he was crucified in weakness. Parang mahirap nating tanggapin sa pandinig. Pero yan ang katotohanan. Nang si Kristo ay namatay sa krus, tinanggap niya ang kahinaan. Nagpakahina siya. And now Paul sees his maltreatment by the enemies in Corinth as his own union with Christ in weakness. His being made weak by his enemies is in union with the weakness of Christ when he was crucified, and that being the case, Paul accepted it willingly. Remember the second visit. He did not apply his apostolic authority then. He accepted the weakness. But now that he is preparing for the third visit and the potential sharp confrontation, he appeals now to the resurrection of Christ as the proof that Christ will enable him with power. And what is Paul claiming? What Paul is claiming here remarkably is that he, and that means Christians, now share that resurrection life of Christ. Not that they are physically resurrected already, not yet that will occur on the last day, but the power of it we already share. And at the right moments, we can apply that power. So as a fruit of it, Paul can claim to that power that Christ has by virtue of his resurrection. And it is this power that he is confident he can demonstrate should he visit Corinth and be forced to confront. Listen to his words. We also are weak in him, but in dealing with you, we will live with him by the power of God. And thus it is also with a Christian life. We may draw from our union with Christ's death. Sometimes we find ourselves weak. We are made to feel the weakness that Christ had on the cross. And at other times, we are made to feel the power of the resurrection of Christ. You know, when you are in an elevator, whatever floor the elevator is, so you are. I mean, you better be. So whether you are down or up, it's because you are in the elevator. Oh, it's a poor illustration, but somehow makes the point that sometimes we are made to go down to the weakness of the cross, and at other times to the power of the resurrection. And the challenge to us, brethren, is seek with maturity God's wisdom to know when to be in weakness and when to be in power. In Paul's second visit, he decided he will be weak. He accepted their ridicule. He accepted their insults. He did not retaliate. He did not then use his apostolic authority. It was then a time for him to be weak, and he accepted it. And that's something that we are called upon to do. Before power, there is first the willingness to be weak. And we may do so in union with the cross of Christ. Remember, on the cross, Christ became the absolutely weak man. He became so for sinners. Para sa ating mga makasalanan, siya'y nagpakahina. Tinanggap niya ang kahinaan. Tinanggap niya ang hatol ng Diyos. Tinanggap niya ang insulto ng mga tao. Tinanggap niya ang panlilibak ng kanyang mga kaaway. Naging mahina siya. And sometimes he calls us, believers, in union with that cross, to sometimes be weak. No, we will never be absolutely weak. That's for Christ to assume. But he asks us at certain times to share that weakness. Apostle Paul was willing to share that weakness in his second visit. And perhaps you are in a situation now where Christ is asking you, share the weakness. Maring nasa kalagayan ka na yan ang panawagan mo ngayon. Danasin mo ang kahinaan bilang kaisa ni Kristo sa kanyang kahinaan sa krus. And when you share the weakness in union with Christ, you will find that there is even there comfort. Listen to Paul in 2 Corinthians 1:5. As we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. That's the irony there. It's not a weakness that destroys you. It is a weakness that can have its comfort. And if you are in such a situation now, call upon your Lord. Call upon Him to give you the enabling in your moment of weakness to do so in union with the cross of Christ. Confess to Him that in your natural personality, perhaps your initial and immediate reaction is to always be in power. But then remember your Lord assumed weakness for you and you are now joined to Him. And there will be times when you will have to share that weakness. But then, with weakness, there are those times when power is called for and we draw that power from the resurrection of Christ. And this is not power miracle. This is not power of success. Remember, the issue here is sin. The issue of dealing with sin, dealing with those who are disobedient to the word. And the power that Apostle Paul is speaking here is of that power to overcome sin, that power to apply the authority of the word, the power to put people in submission to the word. And now I ask you, where do you draw that power? Many depend on sheer resolve. They are naturally strong-willed people. They are decisive personalities, and they draw their strength from that. I remember one ship accident in 1983. Marine Electric was a ship that sank off the coast of Virginia. 31 sailors died. And the following investigation revealed that the 10-ton anchor of the ship got loose and battered the hull of the ship. Imagine a ship destroyed by its own anchor. When the anchor is supposed to stay the ship. Well, that is the disappointment of anchoring your strength on your sheer resolve, personality, resources. As Christians, we have this to draw strength from. The resurrection of Christ. Listen to Paul in Philippians 3 verse 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. Here again, the same root of union with Christ's death and resurrection, be it in weakness, joined to His death, or in power, joined to His resurrection. John Calvin, when he first made the attempt to be a minister in Geneva, it would appear to us and to history that he was a total failure. Just after 1 year, the leaders of Geneva asked him to go away. And he did. What appeared to be an abject failure. He was invited by his friend Farrell to stay, and then a year after that, pinalayas sa Geneva. So from any perspective, you would say that was an embarrassment, a humiliation after such a good intention. But then, just 2 or 3 years later, there was this attack by the Catholic Church in the person of Bishop Sadoleto, and no one could answer him. And they knew only one man could answer him. And they begged Calvin to return. And when Calvin returned, that's the Calvin's ministry that we know of that has proved so powerful for many generations to come. He knew how to be weak when he was humiliated, insulted, chased away from Geneva. But knowing how to be weak prepared him for that powerful ministry that proved to be. Where are you at this time? Join it to your union with Christ. Don't blame your weakness to mere circumstances. Join it to the weakness of Christ. And when you are given the opportunity to experience power, don't draw it from your personality and abilities. Draw it from the resurrection of Christ. And if there is anything that I hope you will retain in this long series, this is message number 25. Retain this, that my perspective of life is not going to be good principles, parental tutelage, though they are good factors. Let your root in life be, I am one with Christ in his death and resurrection. Here is the absolute reason why every Christian has a source to be mature, because he is in Christ. Let us sing our last hymn. I crucify thee, whatever happened to Christ on the cross and the subsequent resurrection, we were there in union with him, and now we are reaping the fruit of it, both in weakness and in power. Let us root our life in our union with Christ's death and resurrection. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos sa Ama, nawa nga ay makita namin kay Apostol Pablo ang napakagandang huwara ng maturidad. At ang pinanggalingan ng kanyang maturidad ay sa katotohanang iniugat niya ang kanyang buhay sa kanyang kaisahan kay Kristo, sa kanyang kamatayan at pagkabuhay na muli. Ang konfrontasyon na nangyari sa Korinto ay isa lamang aplikasyon, subalit ang katotohanang ito ay isang bagay na dapat naming gawing pangkalahatan sa aming buhay ng pananampalataya. Help us, Lord, to know, to appreciate, to understand increasingly what it is to be in Christ. And it is to belong to that which Jesus has put in place since his death and resurrection. And thus, we belong to that great transition of the age, that new creation, that kingdom of God, that mode in the spirit, that administration of Jesus Christ. Things that unbelievers do not see, and yet are realities that we possess and enjoy in Christ. Grant that we may learn, like Paul, to root our lives in that reality that we are joined to his death and resurrection. And as a result, that we may be able to see every aspect of our life. And even like the Apostle Paul, see even his chains, so his chains as being in Christ. So help us to see even our sufferings are in Christ. Salvation blessings are in Christ. And in the end, even when our day of death comes, even our death is in Christ. So help us, Lord, to have this pervasive outlook that defines our life, not in terms simply of what we have inherited from our parental tutelage, not just from our education, not just from virtuous principles, important as they may be, but help us, Lord, to see and root our life in our union with Christ in his death and resurrection. And one important thing that this teaches us is to see life in terms of alteration of weakness and power, that we can be willing to be weak, not because of a weak personality, but because Christ was once absolutely weak in his crucifixion, and he asks us to join him in that weakness in certain situations of our lives. May we be willing to do so. Speak to those who may perhaps are already struggling with that situation, and help them see their situation as sharing the weakness of the Lord Jesus Christ as they are joined to him. And then there are those situations when we are enabled to be in power as drawn from the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. May we not let power be drawn from our sheer personality and decisive resolve, but rather to draw it from the Lord Jesus Christ so that He may get the glory from our alternating experiences of weakness and power. But grant that all this we would understand in terms of our union with Christ in His death and resurrection. So open our eyes, refresh our hearts, and help us, Lord, to root our life in that cross and in that empty tomb of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray all these things. Amen.